Welcome back to Cyber AI with Alan W. Silverberg. I'm Alan Silverberg. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to this podcast, where we explore the intersection of cybersecurity, reputation, and artificial intelligence. It's a rapidly evolving digital world, and we are all part of it, whether we want to be or not. Cyber AI with Alan W. Silverberg is found on Spotify and also carried on digijax.com. And today, we're going to be diving into a quietly growing crisis that hasn't made really too many headlines outside of the sort of cybersecurity and security worlds, but absolutely should have. And it's tied to everything that's happening in the United States right now. I am going to try very hard to not be political about a situation that obviously could be construed as political. So I'm going to try to address this from a status of life, our safety of life, and for the protection of all of us perspective. So what we're talking about here is the sudden and widespread and unexpected cuts to FEMA security grants nationally, and how these are leaving states, cities, colleges, and public institutions digitally exposed. And also with their reputations at risk because of this digital exposure. This isn't a political issue. It's a national safety issue. It is playing out across every corner of this country. Security is not a luxury. Cybersecurity is now part of the national emergency response equation. It is everywhere. That is true in big states, little states, big cities, small counties and municipalities. The basically quiet removal of FEMA grant funding in this space is more than just a budget story. Obviously, we've heard a lot about things being cut by the federal government and how it affects different parts of our society. The FEMA security grants are something that have been in place for a long time. They are something that all 50 states do receive money from. And it goes and affects us in really ways that it's hard to think about how interconnected this all is. So this is really about national resilience. It's about defending against things like ransomware. In 2025, it's actually an avoidable tragedy waiting to unfold unless some new coordinated frameworks are built and money coming in to basically fill the gap from what was coming in just a couple months ago. So again, this is not a political issue. This is a national safety issue. So we're talking about the FEMA security grants and the cuts to them here on Cyber AI with Alan W. Silverberg. So section one, I'm going to break this down a little bit. Like, what was really funded? What was going on here? What did it mean for all of us? For our data, for cybersecurity, for reputation, for artificial intelligence protections? So when you do a little research into this and you start looking at what did FEMA security grants actually fund, you know, the list is like really, really, really long. So I'm going to go through this in a casual way. I'm not going to get into any kind of a specific stuff here. Just on a cybersecurity level, okay, we're not even talking about physical barriers, physical security, disaster response, and disaster drills, and disaster training, which is all part of FEMA security grants. Over the past decade or more, these FEMA grants, FEMA security grants specifically that we're talking about, have become a primary funding source for cybersecurity resilience and reputational resilience across the United States. It's funding everything from, you know, ransomware prevention systems, things like endpoint detection tools, tools and training like cyber incident response playbooks, cloud infrastructure, security reviews and training, and even things like public sector cybersecurity training and awareness campaigns that might be conducted by states or conducted by, you know, cities or colleges or universities. These grants funded regional cooperation between police departments, emergency response centers, city halls, public universities, private universities, making sure that these institutions could actually share threat intelligence and plan together against threats and the risks and hazards from those threats collectively. But when the FEMA security grant dollars are pulled back or eliminated entirely, as the case may be in many parts of America, what is happening right now in many states, and this is across the political lines, this is not just about red or blue states, this is about the United States of America. Our entire defensive cybersecurity architecture starts to collapse upon itself because the money is not there to pay for the things that were supporting us and protecting us just a couple months ago. It's a little scary to think about when you look at it like that. I'm breaking this down and trying in very simple English here. I'm trying not to get into any politics about this. Obviously, there's a lot of other people discussing politics right now. We're going to just stay on the tech and cybersecurity aspects of this and reputational aspects. Okay, segment two. Let's look at like the frontline collapse. What is the frontline of this? Cities, states. The cities and state governments that receive FEMA security grants have been relying on this money for years. Many of them have built entire programs around this money coming in from the federal government. Most of these states and cities and municipalities do not have the discretionary budgets sitting around for cybersecurity or to fill the holes for these things when they were being funded by the federal government. So when FEMA was funding things like penetration testing, 24-hour, 7-day-a-week monitoring, or cyber audits, it was literally the only defense in many cases that many small or mid-sized governments had beyond whatever software packages or one person they have, you know, kind of trying to control the threats of cybersecurity from hackers inside and out. So, but without these grants, without these FEMA security grants, because that is what we're talking about, systems start to go unmonitored. They might even get turned off in some cases because power wasn't being paid or a vendor didn't get paid. Software patches are delayed. These digital threats start to go unnoticed. And worse, they start to go unnoticed and unreported. And cities and localities have already become and have been prime targets for bad actors for years. You see this with everything from hospitals to water filtration systems to electrical grids to financial systems in cities, communication systems. These are all under constant attack from outside cyber forces. And part of the reason that you never hear about it, and part of the reason that you can go about your daily life without worrying about it, is because these FEMA security grants have created this framework of cooperation and defensive posture across law enforcement agencies throughout America, across different types of state agencies and local agencies, and their partnerships with, you know, like with everyone from colleges and universities to businesses to critical infrastructure systems, electricity, water treatment plants, election systems, your transportation control grids, traffic lights, the things that control, you know, when is the traffic light changing? Where are you supposed to go on the freeway when it's telling you one thing, but then people are going in a different direction, but the lights are pointing you in another direction? I mean, there's all sorts of scenarios here that could really play out. Public health reporting has been talked about a lot in the news. The FEMA security grants were playing a large part also in some of the digital communications about public health reporting. This is now either has disappeared or is in the process of disappearing. Some of it is being archived by people out in the private sector, but not all of it will be, and some of it we will lose. These are critical infrastructure layers. These are not just like conveniences. These are the things that we rely on every day. For all of the things that we do, it doesn't matter what your life is, whether you're a musician or a surgeon, or whether you are a doctor, a dentist, or a teacher. We're all relying on these infrastructure things that most of the time you never have to think about, partly because there have been for years these FEMA security grants that have been helping to tie the cybersecurity and digital security aspects together for so many people around the country. This is part of the reason why you very rarely hear about it, because these problems actually have been at least partially addressed. I'm not going to sit here and say that everything was perfect beforehand. There are always problems, but at least there was some mechanism in which to address it. But by taking away these FEMA security grants, it's quite possible that those mechanisms to address these threats disappear. Okay, segment three, universities, colleges. Obviously, universities and colleges are in the news also a lot right now for other reasons. A lot of them are losing different types of grants as well. So they're losing medical bioscience grants, they're losing engineering grants, they're losing all sorts of research grants that might have to do with anything from healthcare to climate to you name it. But when you also tie those loss of those grants into this loss of the FEMA security grants, you really start to have an issue that is going to start to creep into all parts of higher education. And it will not just be the smaller colleges or the regional universities. It's going to become a problem for the biggest colleges and biggest universities just as quickly as it was for the smaller ones, again, because they don't really have the money to necessarily suddenly fill in the gaps for the things that the security grants from FEMA were covering. And so I think what this is going to create actually is, even though universities and colleges across the United States are already under attack and facing diminishing resources from diminishing grants in other sectors, the loss, outright loss of the FEMA security grants is going to pile gasoline onto the fire, and I think turn the educational, higher education system into one of the more vulnerable sections for cybersecurity and reputational threats now in the United States. Universities were already juicy targets for attackers. They store massive amounts of personally identifiable information, both about students and teachers and teacher aides, as well as staff at the schools and parents, and also all the financial information about grants and loans, people's healthcare information. They store, depending on the university or the college, they're storing valuable research and intellectual property, sometimes linked, if not often linked, to federal contracts, which many of those federal contracts are also linked to these grants. FEMA security grants have helped fund cybersecurity reviews, third-party risk assessments, simulated incident response drills, and even helped to create vendor relationships or make vendor relationships better for universities and colleges, because now there was a way to pay for things, or there was a way to guarantee vendor payments, or maybe get into more esoteric types of technology because there was funding there. But now, here we are in end of May 2025. These FEMA security grants, for now, are gone. There are a lot of court cases moving through various courts across the country regarding some of these. I know that multiple states have gotten together and sued the federal government over the loss of these FEMA security grants. And however, the money is gone for now. So most schools and universities are scaling back their own cybersecurity operations. They're canceling vendor contracts. They're delaying upgrades to software and hardware. And they're not filling jobs that are either empty, or if someone is moving on to something else. And so this is creating a larger cybersecurity risk for all these colleges and universities. It's also obviously a reputational risk. I've talked about this in other episodes of Cyber AI with Alan W. Silberberg. This linkage between cybersecurity and reputational attack is made even more extreme in this artificial intelligence world that we live in. And when you re take those three things into account, any of these types of changes that are on a large scale basis, the scale factor affects cybersecurity. It affects reputational risk, and it affects the artificial intelligence interplay between all of this. So when you have schools that are scaling back cyber operations and canceling contracts, what you have is already exists that is now going to become worse by scale, by factors, I don't even know, thousands of universities and colleges across the country. One breach at any one college or university can result in student identity theft, teacher identity theft, all sorts of staff identity theft issues, healthcare identity, healthcare private information, and private health information being taken, research sabotage, research being stolen, research being deleted, loss of trust both at the federal level, the state level, the public trust, as well as obviously big thing with colleges and universities is donors, so they're going to lose trust with their donors as well. And then you add in the withdrawal of grant funding from agencies like NIH or National Science Foundation or other state and federal agencies that were relying on other federal grants that have now been canceled. So what we're seeing, in my opinion, this is my humble opinion, we are seeing a perfect storm right now in the cybersecurity world that's going to hugely affect universities and colleges, the higher education industry in America, through severely reduced funding, vastly increased threats, and open networks or networks that you have long relied heavily on trust, now having really nothing to support them other than the communication lines between them. And what that means is that things that where university even might have thought things were safe between themselves in terms of communications is going to be affected. Everything that is supported by these FEMA security grants, and it's in billions of dollars a year nationally. So we're not just talking about a little bit of money here. We're talking about a significant amount of money. In my opinion, as a subject, a cybersecurity subject matter expert and a reputation expert, we are looking at a perfect storm now of problems coming for, and it's not just the higher education world and colleges and universities. It is also municipalities and cities and states, smaller parts of cities and smaller parts of counties. Segment four, the municipalities are on edge. Now, imagine you are the mayor of a town with 20,000 people and a digital system built on outdated software, older computers, legacy computers, an overworked staff, and/or staff who don't even understand the computers that they have now because they get updates and patches. These FEMA security grants have been allowing municipalities to bring in third-party vendors to run these audits, to deploy detection systems, and more crucially, to help manage the supply chain security. In other words, what are the municipalities putting into their systems? How are they replacing these legacy systems and doing it in a secure way? Often, what has happened in the last several years is that smaller cities and states have had to outsource this. And the way that they outsource it is by hiring companies like DigiJax, my company. We don't actually have any FEMA security grant funding, so we haven't been affected by this directly. But basically, cities and states will hire, or municipalities will hire a company that does a specific thing in cybersecurity, and then that vendor will help them develop that project. Without these FEMA security funding grants, these local governments and municipalities are left basically to try to either A, rely on open source tools, with basically no staff to manage those, while they are also pausing or canceling multi-year cybersecurity investments that they'd already started because they thought that they had the FEMA security grant money in place for years. Or they're now wishing, going to bed every night, hoping that they are not the next victim of a targeted or opportunistic cybersecurity attack against them. This is definitely not science fiction. This is definitely reality. And unfortunately, the withdrawal of all this FEMA security grant money is public, which means the criminals also know this. And this is actually a really a brutal truth. The cyber criminals already knew the problems, where to go already. They're sharing information daily on the dark web. Showing which municipalities are least protected. It's easy for them to buy that information from other hackers if they don't have it themselves. Which states have were already weak, but now they can learn very quickly which states are delaying cyber legislation, which regions have recently lost federal support, which municipalities or cities have lost federal support suddenly. This information's, if it's not public now, it's going to be public very soon. Municipalities are therefore, in my humble opinion, sitting ducks. They were already kind of sitting ducks, but now they're really sitting ducks. When they fail, they're not going to fail alone. They're going to bring down other municipalities and cities and counties around them. They're going to bring down vendors. So you have all these things that are linked. The municipalities are linked with county networks, public hospitals, state infrastructure, city infrastructure, critical infrastructure, power systems, water systems, sewage systems, telecommunications, you name it. We are no longer in a world that is not interconnected. And to their credit, for the last several years, state governments, municipalities, cities have actually worked very diligently to create these types of interconnections, and knowing that the FEMA security grants were there to provide a basis for at least them to be able to work together. But now you've taken that away, and we're now almost in a Wild Wild West situation where it's going to depend essentially on how well does a specific group, county, municipality, water, infrastructure or electrical infrastructure group or organization, how much money do they have right now on hand to deal with these problems? If they don't have some money on hand right now to deal with these problems, where are they going to get it? Where's it going to come from? So either the FEMA security grant money has to be replaced, or they have to stop doing the things that that money was paying for, which was securing all of us in these invisible ways that happened 24 hours a day. None of us ever think about the stuff of science fiction nightmare. Oh, the electrical system of a city got taken down, hospitals got taken down. It's something like a Hollywood movie. If you think about, oh, because of the loss of money, all of a sudden all these people aren't working anymore. And that means that there's people who were supposed to be protecting you and me and all of us who aren't now. There's nothing picking up that slack. There's no artificial intelligence picking up that slack. Maybe in some of the bigger states, there might be some levels of artificial intelligence now that's picking up some of that slack. But basically, we're in a position where most of the situations in the United States, for example, most of the cybersecurity vendors that state and local governments rely on are also getting hit very hard right now. Because those FEMA security grants funded thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of small to medium cybersecurity contracts. Now, those are being canceled or paused, which means vendors are going to be laying off staff. They're going to be cutting corners to deliver basically the bare minimum service that they can get away with. Or they're just going to abandon the public sector entirely and focus on corporate clients and have the money to pay them. So this creates a trust vacuum. It creates a vacuum of leadership. It creates a situation where city governments and municipalities are left with legacy systems, but no partner to guide them or fix them or update the patches or do trainings on the software or anything like that. Public universities have firewalls. But what happens if there's no one to maintain them? Or response times grow, or incident disclosures start to get delayed, or incidents get worse and worse and worse because there's fewer people handling them at speed. And the public, you, me, our parents, our kids, they lose trust fast. One breach, one unpatched system, We all know this in our lives, okay? If you have a company that you work with that gets hacked, you're going to switch to another company. If you have a bank that work that reports that your information got hacked, you're likely to switch to another bank. All it takes is one unpatched system, one breach, one failure to notify. That's all it takes in this world that we live in. Artificial intelligence has taken any bit of information and made it instantly accessible. It's changed how search engines reveal news and information. And the speed at which all this information happens now means that if in the course of a breach or a cybersecurity incident, all the stuff about your company or your organization or your critical infrastructure, if you're a city, can be out in the public before you even know that the breach occurred. Segment six. What is this bigger picture here? What's going on with artificial intelligence and reputation and cybersecurity in this new, like, FEMA security grant drying up world? Here's what I believe this all adds up to. And again, this is my opinion. I'm the CEO of DigiJax. I'm the founder of DigiJax. I'm a cybersecurity subject matter expert and reputational expert, and has spent the last several years working on how artificial intelligence has woven into cybersecurity and reputation. I've written a lot about this, both on digijax.com and also on Medium and Huffington Post. I've given speeches in five continents about these issues, and I am daily protecting our clients at DigiJax from these types of cyber attacks. So I'm living and breathing this as I'm talking about this. This is not a theoretical or academic environment for me. We are subject matter experts. We work with former law enforcement, former military, current law enforcement, current military, and we face threats that are international in scope and often hostile foreign nations. So here's what I think this all adds up to. Instead of having what has been mostly, and again, it hasn't been perfect. There have been a lot of holes, but it's been there. Was a unified national approach mostly to cybersecurity readiness. FEMA security grant cuts now have left all of us with essentially a patchwork of vulnerability across the country, in states and cities in every single part of this country. Some states with deep budgets might be fine for now, but that's not going to be true next year. Others are already going to be heading back to, early level protections, 2020 or 2015 level protections, because they won't be able to afford something else moving forward if they don't have these FEMA security grants. And this is not a hypothetical. This has already happened. These grants have already been removed from the net. They've actually been rescinded in some cases, which meant that the federal government actually took the money back out of the accounts that they had originally deposited to. Some colleges and universities are sort of protected for now, again, because they have deep budgets. But most are exposed. In fact, most are exposed in ways maybe they don't even realize, because they've been relying on the FEMA security grants for so long that they never even thought about having to basically lose them. They never thought of where would the money come from to support all this. Some cities, bigger cities, and some bigger states are using and testing AI threat identification models, but most are still relying on overworked IT people. In some cases, it might be a single person who now is lost the support of regional networks and councils that he or she had been relying on to get their job done. This basically is how systemic risk builds, quietly, slowly, and kind of all at once. The systemic risk creates hazards in this digital world. They're cybersecurity hazards, they are reputational risk hazards, they are artificial intelligence risk hazards. For organizations that have cybersecurity insurance, they will be able to also handle this better than organizations that do not have cybersecurity insurance. And just without getting into that's a whole several episodes, and I'm going to have some guests in the future talking about the importance of cybersecurity insurance. Roughly in America, 50% of businesses right now, 2025, don't have proper cybersecurity insurance. And it's safe to say that a lot of local cities and municipalities also do not have proper cybersecurity insurance, if any at all. And there's a whole bunch of reasons why, but basically, cost was a factor. And for many governments, it was sort of like, well, yes, we'll insure ourselves kind of because we're the government, sort of. That's not always true. There are some governments that do have cybersecurity insurance and cities and states that do, but it's not like the common thing. It's not something that everyone has, that everyone's doing. So I think where we have to go, okay, having said what I just said, we have to keep the regional cyber alliances in place. Up to now, these have been sharing staff and vendors, and they've been sharing threat intel across city, county, state lines on a 24-hour basis. We need to keep those. We need to make sure that those do not disappear. All of these groups that I've just mentioned, higher education, critical infrastructure, cities, municipalities, states, they need to start using AI cyber tools responsibly. They need to start using them, first off. But it does also require human oversight, which if there's no one to pay for that, then that creates a problem. Definitely invest in cybersecurity insurance. Excuse me. But also read the fine print. Make sure that the insurance that you're getting is something that would provide the type of coverage that your organization needs. Many insurers now are looking at trying to scale back some types of cybersecurity coverage. When you are training your internal teams, you now have to train for less people and less tools. It used to be maybe that you were training for less people because you were getting more tools and you had more money. But now the lack of money means that you're going to be having less of both, less people and less tools. So you have to adopt your training to this new reality, this new lack of t people and lack of tool situation, lack of funding. We all have to start thinking about new funding sources and models. What's going to happen beyond FEMA here in the United States? What kind of grants can be gotten, whether it's from venture capital or from the private world or from philanthropic groups or some sort of consortiums between universities and private sector or community colleges in the private sector. I think that the loss of these FEMA security grants is going to require that all these organizations now have to think outside the box 24 hours a day and really look at all aspects of emergency preparedness. It's part of the mission. It's part of the public trust strategy they already have. But if before they were relying on money, so now they don't have the money, so. But the breaches are still going to come. The cyber attacks are still happening. The reputational attacks are still going to happen. Basically, we're kind of in a catch-22, that no matter what happens here, these attacks will continue to happen. Without the FEMA security grants, many, many organizations across the United States will see an impact with, by the summer. If it has not already happened now, we will see it by the summer. Because by then, people will have lost jobs and systems will stop working or slow down, or they won't work as well as they were working, whatever it is. So normally I won't kind of go on a rant like this, but Cyber AI with Alan W. Silverberg is a podcast that I intend to use to talk about cybersecurity and reputational issues and how the artificial intelligence, the world that we live in, affects them. And right now, one of the biggest things affecting this whole set of industries that I just talked about is the lack of and the loss of these FEMA security grants. If you want to learn more about my company, DigiJax Group, please go to digijax.com. It's DigiJax.com. On it is a link that says Cyber AI with Alan W. Silverberg. If you click on that, you can also see services that we've mentioned in this podcast: cybersecurity, reputational services, incident response services that I've tailored we specifically for the podcast to make our services more accessible to people who may not be able to get to us through a law firm or a business management firm. It's my belief that all of us need access to tools like this. So we've made it so that some of our processes and services are available. So if you go there to digitax.com and click on Cyber AI with Alan W. Silverberg, you will see a number of different options. This podcast is on Spotify. Please like us and follow on Spotify. If you think that what I'm talking about is interesting, please share it on social media or elsewhere to tell people about it. I'll be doing these types of podcasts where I'm by myself as an audio podcast, and when I have guests, there'll be a video. We're just working out the video backdrops and all that right now. So, and also the guest list is quite long. And I'll be very excited to announce some of these guests in the next couple of weeks. So this has been Cyber AI with Alan W. Silverberg. The FEMA security grants cuts, there are not just a funding issue. They are a national readiness issue. They are a trust issue. And here they are, without question, it's a growing reputation risk for governments, schools, and all these institutions that we just talked about on this podcast because of the loss of these funds and the amount of people that they were supporting and the types of technology that it was supporting. I've tried very hard to address an issue that is obviously very political in nature, in a non-political way. I've tried to look at this from just common sense. How is this going to affect the larger part of our society that has been relying on these FEMA security grants for decades in some cases? If you found this episode insightful, please subscribe on Spotify. Please share it and like it. And share it with someone who works in state or local government or education or digital infrastructure. Get them thinking about this. And as always, stay smart, stay safe, and stay ahead.
Techies come, Alan Silverberg with the beating drum, diving deep where the future's from.